think a little further about some big events. Well, all events are big events in the Bible in one sense, aren't they? They're all remarkable. Everything's there for our learning. But there are some special, extra special, large events that have a significance that really just carries on through the whole of the Bible. And we saw it was redemption, wasn't it, last week? The Exodus coming out of Egypt, which was a picture of the sinner coming out of bondage. The work of God, supernatural, judging the ungodly and making a distinction between his people and the people of the world, so that we had the benefit, the blood of the Passover, and that, of course, speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know they had the Red Sea. That was a big event. It came through. God showed that he could deliver. He could fulfill his promise, and it's supernatural all the way. And he brought them to the mountain that he had shown to Moses some time before, and which was the mountain that Moses had said to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh should let God's people go and worship there. So that was Mount Sinai. That's in the desert, the other side of the Red Sea. They crossed over there, somewhere in perhaps modern-day Saudi Arabia. In fact, it's quite curious when I was flying back from Zambia last year that the plane flew over. What obviously the navigation kind of map thing there reckoned was Mount Sinai. It was rather strange, actually, about 3 a.m, whatever it was, but to be flying over Mount Sinai, where thunder and blackness and the voice that spoke to the people there, God's voice, because that was the mountain he'd appointed. And that was a big event. That was a very significant event, because that was the beginning, really, of their nationhood. They became a nation. This is when God gave to them their place in his sight, rules, laws, gave to them all the things he did, which filled the Old Testament. And you can trace it back to Mount Sinai, redeemed them out of Egypt. And then they are his people. And he declares to them that he will be their God. They will be his people. And that this is what it will look like, being his people. And so he gave them the Ten Commandments, didn't he? Not that, before that, nobody had a clue that you shouldn't kill somebody, or nobody had any idea that perhaps lying to people was not the best thing to do. They knew that because they knew it in their conscience. But now it was set out in clear form. Here we are still to this day, the Ten Commandments. That's their moral charter, their obligations to God, that they should have no other God before him, that there should be no graven images, they shouldn't take his name in vain, and they should honor him on his day. But then all the obligations towards your neighbor, towards your parents, towards everybody. And God gave them that. And from that, lots of other little laws that kind of followed through from the Ten Commandments, some particular rules, many of which had very much an appearance for that age, for that kind of culture, what kind of work they'd be doing. We have to sort of think through those for our present day. But moreover, he gave them the priesthood. That was to be Moses' brother, Aaron, the high priest. And he gave them there the sacrificial system. And was that not a detailed thing? All the different sacrifices that they were to make, and following from it, the place where they were to make them. The tabernacle to begin with, this wonderful tent that they were to put up, shown by God's instruction, that's how you're to make it. And then later on, there was a temple. And that had precise instructions how it was to be made. But of course, the whole thing was centered around sacrificing animals, wasn't it? Blood sacrifice. Because, well, the life is in the blood. And the sinner really sins. You just forfeited your life in the sight of God. Said something, that's it. Felt something in your heart that was wrong, that's it. Any of those Ten Commandments, in all of their kind of deep meaning, not just, well, I haven't killed anybody. Yeah, but have you loved anybody as well? You know, well, I've not lied to anybody. Yeah, but have you told them the truth? Did you want to? Was it in your heart? Maybe to be a bit deceitful or whatever, or to be a bit covetous there. And of course, we're all undone. And for the people then, these blood sacrifices. So you could still have fellowship with God. And God was always reminding them, yes, but only on the basis that something has to die on your behalf for you to enjoy any of these benefits, to be able to pray to me, to be guided by me, to be protected by me. It needs blood sacrifice. So at Mount Sinai, Moses on the mountain, all these instructions. And in our evening services, and we've been looking in the book of Hebrews, which looks back at all of this and what it means and the places of sacrifice and what kinds of sacrifice and all this detail. But it was all to do with blood needed to atone for the sinner. So that was all given at Mount Sinai. All this law, the priesthood. So when you break this law, there's a way still to enjoy fellowship with God. Sacrifice of a bull, or a goat, or a sheep, or something of that kind. And all the sacrifices that every day were to be made by the priests, the lamb in the morning and in the evening, the Sabbath day, and all the various feasts and special occasion days in the Jewish calendar. Well, that really set up then the rest of the Old Testament, if you like. It all follows from that. But this is now how they are to live before God. Of course, we know that by and large, they totally failed. And all kinds of things, which we'll look at in future weeks, happened to them. But it all because they didn't learn what they needed to learn at Mount Sinai. When God said he'd be their God, and you'll be my people. They didn't really have it in their hearts to be his people. But of course, it all looks forward, as everything does, right there, big event. But every event, big events, smaller events, are all pointing us forward to the one to come, Jesus Christ, every time, back to him. Because, well, if these people can't keep the law, they can't probably keep the Ten Commandments. They're always going to go after idols. They're not going to listen to what God is saying and be obedient to him. They're not going to love their neighbor. They're going to do all kinds of things for their neighbor. Then is there anybody who will keep this law entirely, all of it, doing the right thing, saying the right thing, feeling the right thing, thinking the right thing? Of course there is. It's Jesus Christ. He's going to fulfill the law, going to live it perfectly. Every last dot, every last crossing of the T, he's going to do it. And then what about those blood sacrifices? They've got to be done all in this particular way, and the priests have to do this, and we're going to have this right altar for it here and the right location for it there. Is that going to just go on and on? Every time, repeat. No, it isn't. Because obviously an animal can't stand for a human being. It doesn't have conscience like we have. It hasn't got the same faculties that we have. It's not really responsible, is it, for our sin? So it's just a kind of stand-in, a temporary thing. But the real permanent answer is to come. And that was Jesus Christ again. He's going to keep the law, but he's also then going to be the one who pays the penalty for breaking the law. He broke the law. We broke the law. But he's going to pay for all of the people he died for who had broken his law. And it's going to be his blood. You're going to need any other blood after that, sure or not. That's going to be his blood. That even that Mount Sinai we're looking forward to. It tells us actually in the Bible, all of this sacrificial system for the people of God in those days was teaching them. They were meant to be learning from this, getting them ready for the day when there would be a full, total, complete sacrifice. Looking forward to the Lord Jesus. So this is a big event. Oh, this is a big event. And when you're reading in the Bible, you'll find it's going back to that. All their difficulties revolving around the sacrifices they're giving. They're doing it in the wrong way or whatever. Or they're breaking his law and the prophets are saying, this is what you're doing. You've broken this promise that you made to God, this covenant that you'll be his people. No bigger event really than this when they came out of Egypt and became a nation ruled by God under God's kind of lordship and saying, we will obey. We will do what you have said. And unfortunately, not being able quite to do it. Well, we'll look at some of these things again as we look at some more big events. We'll be moving a bit quicker now because right in the beginning, these are big events, Genesis, Exodus, and we'll follow on from that and see where else that takes us.